Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, let's face it, we're all swimming in information these days, right? Social media, spreadsheets, contacts. It's a lot. Making sense of it all quickly, thoroughly, that feels like a real challenge sometimes. But what if you had a way to structure that knowledge, like a superpower for understanding complex stuff? Well, today we're diving deep into exactly that. We're looking at data structures and specifically something called arrays of records. Now, this isn't just for hardcore programmers. If you ever find yourself wrangling big lists of information or even just trying to organize your thoughts more effectively, this is definitely for you.
That's spot on. And for this deep dive, we're drawing from some really solid sources, a collection of software development and programming materials that really lay out how computers manage information effectively. Our goal here is basically to pull out the key ideas and show you how they work in practice, make it tangible.
Exactly. So the mission today, we want to really unpack arrays of records. What are they? How do you actually, build them? We'll use examples from the sources to turn these maybe abstract ideas into something you can actually grasp and use. Ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
Okay, so most people listening probably have some idea about the basics. Like you've got variables, right? Just a single spot to hold one piece of data.
Yeah, like a label. My name equals Alice, one label, one value. Super simple.
And then you've got arrays, which are basically lists.
Lists of data. But the key thing, traditionally anyway, is they usually hold items of the same type. So an array might be just names: Alice, Bob, Carol, or maybe just ages: 30, 25, 40. All numbers, all strings. You get the idea.
Right. But what if you want to keep Alice's name and her age and maybe her job title altogether? Because they all relate to, well, Alice. That seems like where simple arrays fall short.
Exactly. That's where the concept of a record comes in. A record is specifically designed for this. It's a way to group together related pieces of information, even if they're different types, like text, numbers, maybe even a true-false value. Think of it like a single row in a spreadsheet, maybe. You have a column for name, text, a column for age, number, a column for is student, true, false. All that data in one row belongs to one specific person or thing.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like a little bundle of related info, a template for one person's details.
Precisely. It defines the structure for a single entity.
So, if a record is like one structured row, how do you handle, a whole table full of people? Lots of rows.
Now you're leading right into it. That's where you combine the two ideas. You create an array of records.
Okay, wait. So instead of an array holding just simple numbers or just simple text?
Right. Each slot in the array holds an entire record. So the first item in your array isn't just Alice, it's the whole record for Alice, containing her name, her age, her job, everything you defined.
Wow, okay. So it's like a list where every item is one of those structured bundles, like a list of spreadsheet rows.
Exactly. And this is where data management gets, well, a lot simpler. Think about the alternative, sometimes called parallel arrays.
Parallel arrays. That's like one list for all the names, a separate list for all the ages, another for jobs.
Yes. And if you want all of Alice's info, you find Alice in the name list, say she's at index 5. Then you have to remember to grab the age from index 5 of the age list and the job from index 5 of the job list.
Oh, I can see the problem there. What if the lists get out of sync or you forget one?
Precisely. It's fragile, easy to make mistakes. But with an array of records, all of Alice's data is inherently bound together in her single record object. You find Alice's record, and boom, her age, her job, it's all right there within that record. It's much more robust, easier to manage, less error-prone. It just makes logical sense.
That really clarifies the advantage. It keeps related things together, which seems fundamental. So let's make this even more concrete. Our sources use a city example, right? How does that work in practice?
Yeah, the city example is great. So first step, you define the city record structure. This is like creating the blueprint. You'd specify the field it needs to hold. Things like name, which would be text or a string. Then country, also a string. Maybe population, which needs to be a whole number, an integer. And perhaps language, another string.
So you're defining the columns for your city data, name, country, population, language. Got it. That's the template.
Exactly. Then you need to actually create the array that will hold these city records. The sources mention a function, something like create cities array. This function basically sets up the container and says, okay, I need space to store, let's say, 10 city records. Or maybe it sets up a list that can grow. It prepares the table structure, but it's empty initially.
Like setting up a blank spreadsheet grid with those column headers ready.
Perfect analogy. Then comes the part where you actually put data into it. That's often called populating the array. You might have another function, like populate cities array, This would go through each empty slot or maybe prompt the user for input. It would ask, you know, enter city name, enter country, enter population.
Mm.
And as the user types that info, it gets stored in the correct fields, name, country, population, of the current city record being filled in the array.
So for each city, you fill out its complete record, making sure all its specific details, name, country, population, language, are stored together in its designated spot within the array.
Precisely. It keeps everything neat and tidy for each city.
And once you've done that, once it's populated, showing the data is easy, right? Like a display city's array function.
Yeah, absolutely. You can then just loop through the array, and for each city record, you can easily print out its name, country, population, and language. It just works. You see your organized table of city data.
Nice. And the sources also mention a student record example.
Right, just to show versatility. Same idea, different data. A student record might have fields like first name, surname, DOB date of birth, that is, city of birth, maybe even best subject.
Okay, so it really drives home that this record structure works for, well, pretty much any kind of structured information you want to manage.
Definitely.
So we've got this elegant way to store data, but you hinted the real power comes when you start using it. What does that actually mean? What can you do with arrays of records that's better?
Well, this structure is really foundational for applying common algorithms,
yeah,
what are often called standard algorithms. Because the data is grouped logically, tasks become much simpler. Take searching, for instance. Let's say you want to find the record for London. With parallel arrays, you'd scan the name array, find London, get its index, say index 12, then go to the population array and get element 12. Go to the country array, get element 12.
Right, that jumping around again.
Yeah. But with an array of city records, you search the array for the record, where the name field is London. Once you find that one record, its population, country, language, it's all immediately available right there inside that record object.
Okay.
No separate lookups needed.
Ah, okay. So finding data or even counting things like how many cities are in a specific country becomes much more direct.
Exactly. You just iterate through your array of records, and for each record, you check the country field. If it matches, you increment a counter. It's clean, logical, and less prone to those index mismatch errors. Sorting is another big one. If you sort the array of records based on population, each city's name and country automatically stay with the correct population figure. Data integrity is maintained naturally.
That makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned other benefits too, like maintainability. How does that work?
Oh, hugely. Think about it. If your program requirements change later and you suddenly need to store, say, the mayor's name for each city, with parallel arrays, you'd have to add a whole new mayor name array, find every single piece of code that deals with cities, and update it to handle this new separate array. It's a potential nightmare.
Okay, yeah, I can picture that. Lots of places to update, lots of chances to miss one.
Right. But with an array of records, you just add a mayor name field to the definition of the city record itself. One change in one place. Now, every city object inherently has a place for the mayor's name. Your existing code that loops through cities might need minor tweaks to use the new field, but the fundamental structure adapts much more gracefully. It makes your code far easier to update and maintain over time.
And readability, too, you said, just makes the code easier to understand.
Definitely. When you see code like cityec.population, it's instantly clear you're getting the population of the city at index I. Compare that to something like population psi. You have to mentally connect that back to nameAC and country AC.
Yeah, the record structure self-documents the relationships between the data pieces. It's clearer what belongs to what.
Precisely. And one more really practical point. This isn't just for data that exists while your program is running. Arrays of records map very naturally onto how data is often stored permanently, like in files. Think of a CSV file, comma-separated values. Each row is essentially a record, and the columns are the fields.
Oh, right. So reading data from a file into an array of records or writing your array of records out to save it is quite straightforward.
Very much so. Or JSON files, another common format. An array of JSON objects is basically an array of records. This means your program can easily load large data sets from files, work with them using this organized structure, and then save the results back. It makes applications persistent and much more practical for real-world data.
That connects it all nicely. So, okay, let's recap this deep dive. We started with the basics variables, simple arrays, and saw their limits. Then we introduced the record as a way to bundle different types of related data together, like for a single person or city.
Uh-huh, the blueprint.
And the real magic happens when you create an array of these records, a list where each item is one of those complete structured bundles. We saw the city example showing how you define, create, and populate these.
Right, moving beyond those tricky parallel arrays.
And finally, we touched on the power this unlocks, making searching, sorting, counting much cleaner, improving code maintainability and readability, and even linking smoothly to file storage.
It's really about a more fundamental way of thinking, isn't it? How to logically structure information, whether you're coding or just organizing things in general. It's a core concept.
Absolutely. So here's something to think about as we wrap up. Consider any collection of information you deal with regularly. Maybe it's your digital music library, your contacts list, even something like a collection of recipes. How could viewing that information through the lens of arrays of records change how you think about organizing it or even interacting with it? Could you design a more powerful personal system for managing that data now that you understand the structured approach? It really is a powerful way to see the structure hidden within all the information surrounding us.